Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today we commemorate the Reformation. You know, there's so much to talk about and learn from what happened that caused the Reformation. From the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church, was selling indulgences, meaning you could buy a piece of paper that, hey, your sins are forgiven. To Luther nailing his 95 theses at the castle door of Wittenberg. And then there was the famous Diet of Worms, where Luther was put on trial for his writings before Charles V, the emperor. And the whole Roman delegation, Luther said, unless I'm convinced by scripture or plain reason, I can't recant my teachings. Here I stand, God help me. Yet I don't think any one of these particular things started the Reformation, but there was something about this young German monk, Martin Luther. What was it? And this morning I'd like to focus on what drove this German monk to turn the 16th century and the whole world upside down. You know, many modern day psychologists, psychiatrists who have studied Martin Luther in his psyche would say that he was insane or crazy, that he suffered from some kind of psychosis with an overwhelming sense of guilt, such a guilt complex that maybe he had a bipolar disorder. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know, but there was something about Luther's fear of a holy God that God used him to discover, or I should say rediscover, the gospel. So, Martin Luther was born in the peasant stock in November 10th, 1483 in Eisleben in the Holy Roman Empire, which would be considered Eastern Germany. Soon after his birth, his family moved from Eisleben to Mansfield. Luther's father, Hans Luther, was a very successful miner and smelter. And Mansfield was a larger mining town. And Martin was the second son born to Hans and Margarita. Luther's father knew that mining was a cyclical operation. Had all kinds of ups and downs, recessions, and good times. But he wanted more security for his promising young son. Hans Luther, Luther's father, decided that he would do whatever is necessary to see that Martin would become a lawyer. So the young Martin started school probably around 7. Schools in those days stressed languages like Latin and Greek and math and some history. It was like our elementary school today. When Martin was 14, he was sent to Magdeburg to continue his studies in the language and the arts, and he was a brilliant student. He did his homework, for all you kids out there who want to know something. After several years, he graduated with his Master of Arts degree. Then, in 1505, it seemed that Luther's father's plans were finally to be realized. His son was going to study law and become a lawyer. Luther was brilliant as a law student when he entered law school. He had one of the finest legal minds in the field of jurisprudence at the time. Yet the more this young Martin studied law, he took his legal mind and applied it to the law of God. He became more and more aware of the law of God and the wrath of God for not keeping his law. He saw it as a law that seemed impossible to keep because God was holy and he was a sinner. And then Luther began to develop severe anxiety about 3 things. I'm going to die. When will I die? And where will I go when I die? These haunted Luther the more he studied the law. He anguished over the question, how can I please a holy God whose wrath is against sinners? This is what Luther called his terror of the conscience, or in the German, the Anfechtung. Then one time Luther was riding home from law school during a break, and he was caught in a horrific thunderstorm. The storm was so bad that a bolt of lightning struck a tree near where Luther was, threw him from his horse. Luther was so afraid he was going to die, so he screamed out, "Save me, St. Anne, I'll become a monk." Or in other words, a pastor. And St. Anne was the mother of the Virgin Mary and the patron saint of minors. This experience horrified Luther and confirmed his intense fear of death and the wrath of God's judgment, that he decided against his father's wishes and to join the monastery and become a priest. You know, I find it interesting to compare Luther's experience with the thinking of today's culture, where there really is no fear of God or God's wrath, or that I'm accountable to a holy God and that there's going to be a judgment. But rather, if there is a God, oh, he's just a benevolent grandfather. He's a higher power who loves everyone and is tolerant of everything, which the church may call sin, guilt and fear of punishment. And even the concept of sin is seen as psychological tools that the church established and is used for centuries to keep people's lives under their thumb. However, when you take away the concepts of sin and guilt, you know, there's less need for forgiveness, right? Because I don't need, I'm fine the way I live. Instead, individuals can discover a radically new approach to the spiritual life. It's like a spiritual journey that allows them to make themselves acceptable with God. Like, God and I are partners. You know, remember the sticker? God is my co-pilot. He's not a God who's angry about sin and his wrath against sin and all ungodliness. That can't be. Several years ago, at the Western Open Golf Tournament, three players were injured in a lightning storm. One of them was the famous golfer Lee Trevino. Shortly after the tournament, Trevino was a guest on one of the late night talk shows. The host asked him, "What did you learn from that experience that almost you were almost killed by lightning?" Trevino responded, "Like, well, I learned that when the Almighty wants to play through, you get out of his way. That's what I learned." And then Trevino shared another experience where he said he was at another tournament that was delayed because of a thunderstorm. He said, "I took my one iron out of my bag, held it high in the air, and walked down the middle of the fairway." The host said, "Well, why would you do that? Hold a metal stick in the air during the thunderstorm after what you've been through?" Trevino responded, "Not even God can hit a one iron. Ha, 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 ha." Trevino's response with a brush of death was just jovial laughter. However, Luther was driven to change his whole life because of this phobic preoccupation with the wrath of a holy God. And how could he possibly please God or keep the law of God? What a difference. So Luther entered the Augustinian monastery at Erfurt to become a priest, despite the disgust of his father. He thought the monastery was a perfect place to find peace and assurance. However, he continued to be haunted with the insecurity about his salvation. His Anfechtungen, or afflictions, wouldn't go away even at the monastery. Luther would throw himself into the life as a monk with passion, but it didn't seem to help his condition. The assurance continued to evade him. He would beat himself, starve himself, almost freeze himself to death in order to appease God for his sins. Then Luther would spend hours in the confessional. Because, you know, each day the monks had to go confess their sins and then receive absolution, and then they would go about doing their chores. And Luther would be in the confessional 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Finally, the heads of the monastery thought, this guy's kind of gold-bricking. He doesn't want to do his chores. And then Luther would get absolution for his sins, and he'd have a little sense of peace. He'd go out and search, "Oh no, I forgot a sin I didn't confess." And he'd run back to the confessor. Finally, his confessor said, "Brother Martin, you are driving yourself crazy. Quit coming to me with these little peccadilloes. If you're going to confess, go out and commit some sin worth confessing. I mean, how much trouble can you get to in a monastery, really? Was Luther crazy? Insane? Or was he on to something? Finally, in 1507, Luther was ordained as a priest. Ah, this was the final thing. And he was ready to celebrate his first Mass. It was a huge occasion for the young Luther. The church was packed, and guess what? Even his father came to see it. And Luther had memorized the Mass 1,000 times. So he was ready. He knew what to do. Everybody was waiting to hear the words as Luther was up there ready to consecrate the elements for the sacrament. And it got really quiet, and Luther lifted up the cup, and he began to quiver in his lips. They were waiting to hear, "Come on, Martin, you know it. You know the Latin. What's going on?" And it was just silence. And finally, he spilled some of the wine, and he put the cup down, and he left the altar. It ended in a disaster. What a total embarrassment for his father. Afterward, when Luther was asked about what happened, why did he freeze at that moment? He said, "I realized that I was in the presence of a holy God. How could these filthy hands of mine touch the very body and blood of Christ? How could someone so unworthy as me stand in the presence of God?" You see, Luther was not crazy or insane. He realized he had no way in himself to please God, to absolve himself of his guilt, that he only deserved God's wrath because of his sin. So the fundamental question for Luther was, how can I find a gracious God? Is there a gracious God? How do I know that God has accepted me? Then, as a theology professor at Wittenberg, he was preparing his lectures on Paul's epistle to the Romans. And he came across chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now listen to this. And Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then the Greek. For in it," meaning the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Luther read that, and then he read it again. "Wait a minute," he said. "The righteousness of God comes by faith?" He discovered that this righteousness of God was not something I had to achieve or that I had to merit. It was given to me graciously by faith. Instead of a storehouse of merit, indulgences, works, and doing what is within me, God accepts the sinner in spite of his sin. Salvation is a gift, is given rather than achieved. Being right with God is not based on your own works and human righteousness, but on God's righteousness revealed to us in Christ. He continued to read in Romans 3, where Paul wrote, "But now," here it is again, "the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law." In other words, apart from trying to please God and keep his commandments, because we can't in and of ourselves. "Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God," and here it is, "through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." Oh, that was so awesome. And then Luther discovered in verse 28, "For we hold that one is justified," and that means made right with God, "by faith apart from works of the law." In other words, it's believing in what Christ has done for you. Luther realized, wow, that's good news. That's the gospel. It was as if, he said, it was as if the gates of paradise opened for me. He finally found peace from all his guilt and striving to make himself right with God. That God's wrath for sin of mankind was laid on Jesus at the cross, so that by the death and resurrection of Jesus, Luther's sins were paid for, your sins were paid for, my sins were paid for, and that he no longer had to try and earn God's favor. He now had the righteousness of Christ given him by faith. What a relief. Luther realized also he had a God who intends to bless every aspect of his life. He wasn't a God who was standing over him with a sword, but a God who protects him and has mercy on him and shields him from harm and danger. A God of mercy who shines on him kindness and joy and gives people peace and wholeness. In other words, Luther saw God who he really is, a gracious God who gives us the righteousness through Christ. And that's why Christ came. And I believe that's what gave birth to the Reformation. And that's the kind of God you and I have, a gracious God, who gives us mercy, who sent his Son to die for your sins and for my sins to make us right with God. That's the difference between all the religions in the world and Christianity. In all the other religions of the world, it's what you have to do to make yourself right with God. It's your works, it's your efforts, it's your rules you keep to be a good person. But with Christianity, it's reversed. It's what God has done for you. It's a gift that we receive by faith. Maybe you this morning are like Luther, saddled with guilt and shame, wondering if God could ever forgive you for what you've done. Yet God, in his mercy, sent his Son to die for you, that your sins are forgiven, that your guilt and shame is washed away. So this morning, come to him. Repent and receive his righteousness by trusting Christ as your Savior. All of Jesus' promises apply to you. He daily and richly forgives you. He supplies you with everything you need in this life, and he is with you every moment. And he gives you faith to eternal life and salvation. Was Luther insane? Crazy? I don't think so. He realized and found out that because of what Jesus did for him, he found a gracious God. There's nothing you can do and nothing that can happen that will make God change his mind about you. He loves you. You are his. You belong to him. It's all grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.